We're just seconds away from a conversation about workplace harassment, the Me Too movement, business, and the very expensive world of settlements. Our guests are Cindy Cronin and Ned Flynn from Arion HR. Harassment in the workplace is a recipe for disaster if you're not prepared. Plus, Cindy has a true story you've got to hear to believe. That is coming up next. Inside on Business, the News Hour is made possible through the support of AARP. Now, while you might think that AARP is only for older folks, the organization offers real possibilities for entire family units. Learn more about the real possibilities offered by AARP. Google AARP, Iowa.
Inside on Business, the News Hour is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com, and the Iowa Business Journals, news and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
It is the Business News Hour, and one of the things that we like to do is really dive deep into a situation that many, many businesses, for-profit and non-profit, face on a regular basis. And one of those things is harassment in the workplace. And one of the things that has bubbled up over the past year and a half is the Me Too movement. With me is Ned Flynn and also Cindy Cronin from Arion HR. And we're going to dive deep into what that is, what it means for business, how business can help protect themselves as well as their employees as we go forward. Ned, good to see you again, my friend. It's been a while.
Good to see you, Michael.
So how you been? You been on the road?
I've been good. I've been traveling a little bit.
Good.
But actually, I've been traveling. One of my travel partners over the last couple of weeks was Ann Barry.
Sure.
Who I call walking content.
She's
because,
amazing.
She just is so. She's just, you know, she's on top of what's happening in the market, but also just has a really good approach to. Just understanding it and reacting to it. So anyway, I had a chance to travel with her, and we spent some time talking about. She's got an upcoming presentation at
right.
the
Napa.
National Association
mm-hmm.
of Women Business Owners. So anyway, she shared with me her topics, and I think we got a good topic
good
to talk about today.
And Cindy Cronin, how in the world have you been? You're the person with a whole bunch of folks in the world of nonprofit, yeah?
Yes, I am, and great to see you again. I love my nonprofit clients. They all know that. I have approximately 100 of them. And as Ned pointed out, we, whether you are a for or nonprofit organization, sadly, harassment in the workplace continues to be prevalent, continues to
sure.
be a topic. I'm actually on the board for the Crystals Foundation. In a meeting recently, we looked at each other and said, I can't believe we're still having this conversation.
I know. This is astounding to so many of us. And one of the things I think that maybe people don't understand is the work that Arion does with so many nonprofits. And, you know, we talk about that from time to time, how people need to be focused on their mission rather than all the other chazarai that goes on with regard to HR functions. All right. Ned, I'm going to turn to you for just a moment and talk a little bit about the Me Too movement and some of the stats that Ann Barry is talked about and will talk about in the future.
You know, I don't get stumped on words that often, but hazarai, I'm gonna have to look that one up.
Hazarai means junk.
Okay.
It's just.
Well, that's fancy.
It's just the way I go sometimes. What do we know about harassment in the workplace? What do the stats tell us?
Well. There's been an uptick in both the number of claims and the monetary value. Now, the EEOC only reports judgments that are
through the court system,
you know, through the EEOC,
right?
And they do not report on claims that would be settled outside of the EEOC.
So, for example, the $4.1 million that was just settled in Iowa. Within the last 2 weeks to two women who had been harassed in the workplace.
Yeah, so the EEOC has a process for both reporting, investigating, and then in passing judgment on the merit of claims and then placing a monetary sure. value to those. And that's what's reported by them. But I would say the majority of claims are settled either outside of the EEOC, even whether they're reported to the EEOC or not.
Right. And what does the EEOC say has been settled on?
So they just reported the fiscal year 2018, and again, there's an uptick in the number of claims, but also the monetary value of those claims. So between fiscal year 2017 and fiscal year 2018, there's been about a 20% increase, so $56.6 million of monetary benefits in fiscal year 18 versus $46.3 wow. million in 17. And I think that that's actually, you know, we actually spoke about this about a year ago, and we talked about, you know, we talked about the Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby that, you know, kind of got lumped into that Me Too movement. And we said, hey, we expect to see an uptick.
Increase, sure.
And that's, of course, what's happened.
One of the things that Cindy just said, you know, can you believe that we're still having this conversation? And I would suspect that if there are processes in place at a company, no matter what size the company is, that you can start to maybe mitigate some of these potential losses if you're trained and you're aware, or I don't know.
I would say, I mean, not only is it kind of astounding that we're still having this discussion, but, you know, I was really surprised. I mean, you know, one of the topics that Ann's going to talk about is the Me Too movement.
Sure, okay.
And, you know, it was kind of initiated in 2006, and that's when the phrase was coined. Tarana Burke was a survivor of sexual assault and wanted to help other women of color who had also survived sexual violence. And so that's when the Me Too movement was started. And then in 2017 and 18, it you know, got a resurgence and more momentum
lots
with all of
people.
The high-profile yep. cases. But in preparing for her presentation, Anne pointed to a recent SHRM survey that 76% of respondents said they did not report a harassment claim. So it's still going unreported.
It's going on, but it's not reported, and yet we're seeing EEOC numbers continue to swell. One can only, you know, start to consider what would the real numbers be like if 76% of these issues are not being reported. I mean, we're talking about astronomical exposure to companies.
Yes, and you know, one of the things we say we help clients do is mitigate liability, and I think that's true. But for every, you know, claim we have to respond to, and there's a monetary value to that, there's an operational impact.
Absolutely.
There's an operational impact, and so the unreported claims, you know, that's a. It's a liability out there. Someday it could get reported. But you know, not knowing that's going on or maybe even ignoring it is having an impact on your business.
Sure. Productivity. The whole business model can be upset. If this stuff is going on and not reported, that can be as detrimental as what it is if it is reported and then handled. How does your company do this? How do you create... What do you do with your clients, both proprietary and nonprofit?
Well, I think it starts with education, and not just educating managers educating all employees about what is acceptable and not acceptable in the workplace.
Right.
One, so how to recognize it, and then two, what to do about it. And then, you know, three, is, you know, having a culture and an environment
sure.
that, you know, people feel comfortable talking about, you know, these situations.
We're talking with Ned Flynn, and also we've got with us Cindy Cronin from Arion HR. And we're talking about not only the Me Too movement, but ways in which businesses have exposure to all kinds of issues out there. Cindy, I want to pedal back to you for just a moment. You've been in this space for some time, talking with your clients, your not-for-profit clients, about issues of harassment. I just have an off-the-ball question here. We are so starved for employees. I mean, the unemployment rate out there is just silly low. And so oftentimes HR people or companies will hire anybody if they can fog a mirror. And we're seeing that. I know you guys see it at Arion HR, that the people are just begging for people to come on board. Does that mere fact that we are so quickly hiring just anybody, does that have an impact, do you think, with regard to training and education and making sure people are in the right fit in some of these companies?
Oh, absolutely. And I think a perfect example of that is I've got some clients that I work with that have family-owned businesses, especially.
Sure.
They're on second, third generation in their business, and as they are hiring and growing, they stay within the community or stay within the family. Well, as they grow and start hiring people that they, quote, maybe don't know,
right,
it increases the exposure that they have, and it doesn't feel so family-like anymore. And so they're trying to, instead of just trusting everyone and trusting that everyone will treat each other with respect, starting to understand that those things have to be shored up, and they have to be shored up in a more formal way. So,
so let's talk about that more formal way, if we can, for just a second. Because if I'm onboarding people on a regular basis, if I'm proprietary and not profit, and I'm doing that on such a rapid turn, what do you suggest people should be doing relative to the onboarding and training of employees, not only new, but existing employees, so that we can mitigate some of these issues that come along with not only the Me Too movement, but also harassment in general?
Right. So what's important is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say in both nonprofits or for, but with my nonprofit clients, boards of directors love to work with companies like ours.
Sure.
Because they many times will say, we just want to elevate things. We just want to be sure that we have processes in place because we have a great executive director and a great staff, but they're mission-based. And they, too, many times are more hesitant to actually to let someone go or keep things formal because they feel that, again, everyone's heart's in the right place, you're mission-based, why would anyone think about that? But the reality is that, as Ned talked about, it has to start with the culture, and it has to start immediately and then be followed up on continually that those types of things are not tolerated. But especially in the nonprofit world, boards of directors have a lot of liability to the organization, and so by working again with a company like ours, they are then able to get that expertise that just elevates the group. And a lot of them will say, we just feel like we need to grow up.
Sure.
A little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, how true that is. Ned, I want to ask just a question about, okay, so we get it. We need to educate people. We need to onboard smartly. We need to interview correctly. All of those things that have to do with business. What is Arion's role if I'm a client of Arion? Where do you come in the training aspect? Or is it proactive versus reactive, so that there's issues that come up and, oh my gosh, I got to call my HR professionals at Arion? Or is there a proactive approach to Arion that goes, okay, look, these are the things you need to do so that you can not be faced with some of those issues?
Well, we have to be both proactive and reactive. But the other thing about, you know, our relationship is, you know, we've got clients that are in, you know, every industry on the spectrum. And we don't, you know, we specialize in the life cycle of an employee, but not necessarily in any one industry. even though we've got a lot of practical knowledge in all of these industries. And so it really kind of starts at the strategic discussion with the business owners and those people that run the business on a day-to-day basis. What are we trying to accomplish, and then how do we get there? And every business is unique and different. So from those discussions, we would then either prescribe training, or a lot of times we spend a lot of time on culture. And Cindy's got a great story that of a client. It's a real story, and it really demonstrates first of all, the perpetrators can be incredibly insidious, and you won't know it, and it can happen at any organization. But then it also, I think, tells a good story about how these situations can be mitigated, through some good kind of focus and attention on culture and process.
Well, let's turn our attention back to Cindy. And Cindy, you should know we haven't had you talk with us for some time, but we've spent, I think, the last two or three conversations with Ned and Melissa talking about culture in the workplace and how important that is to not only recruitment but also retention in the long term. So I'm really interested to hear your story.
Yeah. So this is a client of ours that had been with us for some time. It's a fairly large organization, has over 50 employees. And predominantly, it's a nonprofit organization, predominantly the leadership within the organization is men, which is kind of unusual because a lot of nonprofits are led by women.
I was going to say, yeah.
But they had an employee that she had recently had a baby. She returned back to work. She had a private office. There wasn't a lactation room, so she would go into her office, of course, and lock her door, and then pump her breast milk for her child, which many women do in the workplace today. She went to go home in the evening, and there was a pen on her desk, and it was kind of different looking. And anyway, she threw it into her bag. She went home. She pulled it out. Her husband, ironically, is connected to a news organization here. And she had this pen out, and he looked at it, and he said, there's something really odd about that. There's something that's just not right about that. And he picked it up and looked at it, and it had a camera in it. And so she had discovered that someone in her workplace had put that camera, that pen with a camera in it, to record her in her office. Of course, she's mortified. Her husband's mortified. She's scared. The phone call she made to us was immediate. It was actually on a Saturday, and she called us right away. And then her HR business partner, she was concerned because...
Before you go on,
yeah.
So this woman, was she in HR?
No, she was just... She's an employee of this organization.
How did she know how to get a hold of you?
Because it's been a client of ours for a long time, and our employees are educated and know who their HR business partners are,
so
they know that we're the trusted advisor that they can go to.
So that was the reason that she picked up the phone call immediately called you guys at Arion. Okay.
That's right. So she contacted us, and we obviously take her concerns extremely seriously, and decided the best thing to do was to meet at an attorney, a local law office here in Des Moines, because, again, because of male leadership and not knowing at all who had, because there was, you couldn't tell other than when they looked at the film, there was a finger where they had set it down, and that was all you could tell. So, of course, we eventually then had to contact the leader of the organization and, by process of elimination, determine who it was. It was not the leadership, but it was a coworker. We went in and did the investigation, talked with the coworker. He's embarrassed. He's got a family. She's embarrassed. He was let go, clearly, immediately. But she, ironically, just as Ned had alluded to, she did not want to go to the police. She did not want to file any charges. Sure. She just wanted him to go away. She did receive a small settlement then from the organization also. And she has since, I know, left there. Not for that reason, but it just shows that, one, we are truly a trusted advisor. Two, creepy, weird things happen in the workplace. I mean, if you think that that it doesn't, and it only happens in big cities. That's absolutely not true. And in this case, it was resolved, but she was encouraged to contact the police because it genuinely is criminal activity. Mm-hmm. And she said, I know his family. I've worked with him for a long time. I just don't want to do that.
And that's and that happens often. I bet you that what we could probably do is, Ned, we could no doubt sit for hours with your trusted HR partners here at Arion and go story after story after story.
Yeah,
we got to do this.
We got to do that. I think that's it would be a great episode because, you know, kind of mentioning to you before the show, I mean, a lot of times I feel like I talk in the obscure and you know, be pretty realistic or pretty, you know, easy for someone to say that, well, you know, that's not going to happen at my business. But, you know, Cindy's story is it's a great example of, you know, this wasn't management, you know, so that's typically where, you know, harassment, you know, it's typically a senior position. But what this really demonstrates is, I mentioned 76% of claims go unreported, and when you look at the reasons why, three of the four they give have to do with a deficiency of the organization. So it's fear of a hostile work environment, fear of retaliation, fear of that management won't handle it properly. Which in Cindy's story, if that was managed,
that was going to be a next question. You know,
if that, you know, that could have had impact on individuals' lives that didn't want that.
Right, amazing stuff. Arion HR, ladies and gentlemen, Ned, thanks so very much for stopping by and having this conversation. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael. It's always great to visit with you. And my travel schedule slows down, so we're going to get more regular here.
That would be good. And Cindy, so good to see you again. I just have to comment. You look awfully tanned. Have you been someplace that you want to talk about?
No, but we're going to the Dominican Republic next week. So
you have a head start.
I have a head start. That's right.
Good stuff. Cindy Cronin and Ned Flynn, Arion HR. Thank you guys for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
Once again, that was Ned Flynn and Cindy Cronin from Arion HR. We'll have links to Arion up on our radio blog. Wow. That was a wild, wild story, wasn't it? Hey. Well, that about wraps it up for today. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. You want some original music for your project? We can hook you up. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.